out toward him and just tell him, preach to me, preacher. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Aren't you glad you got the Holy Ghost tonight? If you don't have it, you need it. Hallelujah. Feels good in his presence tonight. There's a deep touch of his spirit here tonight. And I don't know about you, but wherever it is you are in your pursuit of him, I want whatever he's got for me tonight. If you need the Holy Ghost, that's what he's got for you tonight. If you need a healing, that's what he's got for you tonight. I want everything God would have me to have here tonight. In Jesus' name, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, very familiar passage of scripture. If you don't know where Ecclesiastes is, it's on page 548. In my Bible, anyway. I don't know what kind of Bible you got, but it's good to be here. I give honor to Pastor Sister Sutton and their fine family, the leadership of this church. Amen. It's a privilege to be here. I count it an honor to be here. I'm excited about what God's going to do this month, aren't you? If I were you, I'd find every backslider I could find, bring them to church. I don't know why I feel that so strong, but I felt it for a few weeks. I've watched it happen in other revivals. If I was you, I'd just call them, say I'm praying for you, thinking about you, God's thinking about you. Amen. And I feel like God's going to do some stuff this month. Amen. Bringing some backsliders home. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Very familiar passage. In fact, I believe somebody wrote a song about it. Amen. To everything, there is a season. Everyone say everything. I want you to pay attention that those words are not together, they are separate. Everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and time to heal, time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Then the writer says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen, he says, the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice, to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Amen. The writer of this passage of scripture, as you study this entire book, you will find that he is posing to his reader the question, what is the profit, or what is the point of living life if everything has a time? Then he sums it up, and this is what I hope to preach tonight, that God hath made Everything. Look at your neighbor and say everything. Not a few things, not some things. Everything. Beautiful in his time. Amen. That's what I want to preach tonight. Our time, his time. Our time, his time. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us. Put your Bibles down. Lift your hands to heaven. Let's ask God to speak in this house to his people tonight. God, we trust you. Lean upon your word today. Lean upon the power of preaching. God, I trust that you have me where you want me tonight. I pray, God, that your word would bring clarity to our spirits tonight, bring understanding to our minds. God, we are but flesh and we need your help today. In the name of Jesus, I wonder, would you clap your hands to heaven? Shout to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The book of Ecclesiastes. It's one of the weirdest books in the Bible. In fact, it has the weirdest name, Ecclesiastes. Probably very many of you didn't know where it was when you turned there. It's kind of like the preacher got up one night and said he was going to preach from the book of Concordance tonight. Amen. And many of them didn't know where that was, and he didn't either. But anyway, the book of Ecclesiastes is the book of the preacher, or the book of the teacher is how it translates, depending upon how you read it. And it is generally regarded that it was Solomon, the king, that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. It is to define it in its 12 chapters or so that it is a question about life. It is a question about the futility of man's efforts in life. Amen. And he begins in chapter 2 with, you can hear if you read his writing. I'm going to preach for just a few minutes about all this, and then we're going to preach my message. But he is asking the question, or he is simply discussing it with his reader, causing you to think as he looks over his life. And no doubt he is nearing the end of his life, or nearing that age when you begin to reflect upon life. And he begins to think back of all the things that he has done. In fact, you can hear as he tells in chapter 2 that if there was something to do, I did it. If there was anything that could be bought with money, or could be gotten by influence, or could be acquired by any kind of power, I got it. I got everything that anybody said would bring me pleasure. I got everything that everybody, anyone would say could bring me happiness. I got it, and I put it in my life. He said, I had gardens that I planted. I had houses that I built. I had vineyards that I planted. I said, the vineyards aren't enough, so I planted orchards, and I planted people in those orchards and vineyards to dress them for me. He said, I got me servants and maidens, and I had servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that was in Jerusalem before me. He said, pretty much to sum it up, and history bears it out, that King Solomon had more than all the kings before him put together. He had all kinds of wives and all kinds of children, and he said, I had men singers and women singers and any kind of peculiar treasure of gold and silver. I got it, and I put it in my house, and I had it where I could look at it, and I had it to the point that when the Queen of Sheba came to see me, amen, and she was so taken away by all of my wealth, I was able to reach back then into my treasury that I haven't even showed her yet, and I gave her a gift that she didn't even understand the power of how much I had. And He said, if it was available, I got it. And I put it in my life. And as I look back now, he says, I reflect upon the things that I have accomplished by my own might and the things that I've done by my own power. And he says, it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit and vexation of the heart. He said, I've looked back upon all the things that I've done and I realize that it ain't going to amount to anything. He said, I've got to the point in my life that I realize that everything I've done and everything I've gained and everything that I possess, I'm not going to take it with me. And I'm going to die and I'm not even going to have control over who does what with it. He said, I've come to the place in my life that I've looked and learned that the fool and the wise are going to die and the rich man and the poor man are going to die. And he said, I've come to the point that I've understood something in life that everybody, every human being, everybody that breathes breath and bleeds blood is going to come to a place when they're standing before God with nothing except what they did for him in their hand. He said, I've learned that all the things that I gained are vanity. I've learned that all the things that I bought to bring me happiness are vanity and vexation of the spirit. And I understand now that it's all for nothing. He said, and then I began to look. He said, the rich man was going through the same stuff I was going through. The poor man was going through. And he, to sum it all up here today, and I could bear it all out, but we don't have time to do all that tonight. In chapter 2, he pretty much sums it up, and he says, the rich man, the poor man, the wise man, and the foolish man are going to go through something that's common to all men. And it's called life. Trouble. Mess. Happens to everybody. I want to tell you something here today. That you can be as godly as anybody. You can pray. You can work. You can worship like we have here tonight. And there's going to be days in your life when you're going to have a flat tire. It's not the devil getting over on you. It's just life. Tires go flat. Cars wear out. Knees wear out. Shoulders wear out. It's just life. And Solomon summed it up and said, life happens to everybody. Rich or poor, Christian or unbeliever, saint or sinner, life is going to happen. I could preach to you here tonight that this message was born in frustration. As I was riding a few weeks ago, I was sitting in a vehicle with a man that I esteem very highly. And my wife and I were arriving. We were driving him and his wife to go to a restaurant. And I was sitting there, and it had been a few months since I had talked with him. And as we were sitting in the car driving, he began to ask questions. He knows I travel, and he knows many of the people that we preach for. And he began to ask questions as only he can. How's so-and-so doing? And I said, well, they're doing pretty good. And then I remembered that I was with him a few months ago. And I said, but they got a situation in their life that if God don't help them, hey man, it's going to end in a mess. And they're waking up with it every morning and living with it every day and going to bed with it every night. And I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how it's going to turn. And just pray for them. And then he asked me about somebody else. And I said, well, their church is on fire. They're having revival. Hey man, they baptized 15 or so a few weeks ago. And they're just blowing the doors off of it. But man, they're a sickness in their family, and God's going to have to help them. And the doctor said, we're just about exhausted all we can do. And as I went through the list and everyone he asked me about, I would tell them how good things were going. But then every one of them, whether it was some part of their financial life or some part of their marriage life or something to do with their children or some health problem, and I remember saying to him that every single one of them was facing some sort of battle that God was going to have to help them in. And finally, I just threw my hands. hands up. And I said, Brother Wilson, I said, everybody I know that's doing right is being blessed, but they're also facing hell on every side. There's some area in their place of life that they're just fighting a battle. And I said, I don't know what to tell you. I just know that everybody I know is going through it. That began to bother me. We're the people of God. We're born again believers. We're baptized in His name. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got peace and joy. His word promises He'll never put more on us than we're able to bear. But then I have dear friends that call and say, my family member has cancer. Or pray for my daughter. Pray for my son. Because God is going to have to help us. I've come to preach to you today that whether you talk in tongues for 3 hours a day, life is going to come down your road someday. And I'm telling you that we're all going to come to a place where we're just going to have to throw our hands up and say, God, you're going to have to help us. God, you're going to have to work for us. God, you're going to have to move on our behalf. And I begin to question God. Begin to fast and pray, God, what is it? Why is everybody going through trouble? Why are we in peril? Why are we in trouble? If I were to open this up tonight, each one of us could testify that, yes, there are good things in our life, and God has blessed us immensely. And even in my own life, God has been too good to me. Amen. There's some days I stand and say, God, I'm almost embarrassed of how good you've been to me. But then I can look throughout the parts of my life, and I can say, God, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how we're going to get there. If you don't help us, it's going to fall flat. If you don't help us, I don't understand how it's going to be done. And I've come to preach to you tonight that every one of us in this room either have or will come to a place where life is going to happen. Then the writer, Ecclesiastes, begins to write in chapter 3. And he says, sums it up. He sums life, he sums trouble, he sums mess and junk. He says, to everything, everything, not some things, not most things, not a few things. He says, to everything, there is a season, a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Then he begins to list this poetic list of things that happen, a time to be born. It's appointed unto man to be born. Everybody's going to be born. It's appointed unto man to die, a time to die. One of the best business you can get in is funeral home. Everybody's going to die. People dying every day. Because that's life. We live and we die. We die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Then the judgment. Bible says, and here's where I believe, whatever your pastor believes is the truth, and I'm just running off at the mouth, but I don't believe that each person has a specific appointed time of death. If that were the case, you couldn't run out in the road and get killed. The Bible says also in this same book, don't be foolish. Why die before your time? You're going to die one day. It's appointed unto man to die, once to die. But don't be foolish. Don't die before your time. It's just going to happen. It's a time to be born. It's a time to die. It's life. It's inescapable. No matter how far we try and how much we attempt to live forever, it ain't gonna happen. Everybody that's breathing air, if God don't come back, gonna die. He says, it's a time to plant. Isn't it funny that he places something so menial as planting in the same sentence as being born and dying? Oh yeah, you're gonna be born and you're gonna die, but while you're at it, There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck up that which is planted. It's simple. Simplistic is how he sums up life. And then he begins to say, there's a time to kill. And a time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build up. Simple, he says. It's just life. You're going to come there at some point in your life. You're going to be building. At some point in your life, you're going to be breaking down. At some point in your life, he said, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. I've been there before. An old preacher used to preach a message called "It's Crying Time Again." Hey man, I want to preach to you today that there's some places in life that all you can do is weep, and you can't do nothing about it because it's just time to weep. Hey man, it's life. You're going to wake up one day and all you're going to be able to do is weep because it's time to weep. But that you just keep living, and you're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be time to laugh. It's going to be time to have joy. There's going to be peace. There's going to be goodness. It's just life, and you just keep going. I'm going to cry. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to break down. I'm going to build up. I'm going to get. I'm going to lose. It's just time. Time to mourn, he said. Anybody here ever mourn? Raise your hand. Just time. I lost my grandfather when I was 6 years old. He was 53. It's just time to mourn. He was born on Christmas Eve and died on Thanksgiving. He messed up our holidays for 20 years. Just time to mourn. It's a time, he said, to dance. That's Sunday night at church. It's just time to dance. You don't have to feel anything. It's just time to dance. That's good preaching right there. Hey man, I'm going to mourn. I'm going to weep. But I'm also going to laugh when it's time to laugh. And I'm going to dance when it's time to dance. Hey man, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It's just life. It's Sunday night. It's time to dance. Hey man, that's what it's about. That's what living life's about. When I come to the time, I got to go through what the time says. Time to cast away stones. Time to gather stones together. A time to embrace. And all the daddies say, amen, a time to refrain from embracing. Until you're 35, it's time to refrain from embracing. That's what I tell my kids. A time to rend. I'm going to preach in a few minutes. I know we're kind of just plodding through here. A time to rend, he said, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And he pretty much says, it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, or what you do. There's going to be some point in your life that each one of these seasons is going to happen in your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. And he says, if you live by logic, what profit is it that a man labor in what he's doing? He said, if there's going to be a time to lose, then why don't you even try to get? If there's going to be a time to mourn, then why do you even try to love to have to not mourn? He said, what's the profit of it? What's the point of it, he says. If good things are going to happen to bad people and bad things are going to happen to good people, what's the point? What's the point, he says. This is the summation of Ecclesiastes here in just a few lines. He says, what profit is it that a man labor or worketh in that wherein he labors? And he said, there's just going to be times that you come to life and it's going to be time to lose. I've been there before. It's just like, my Lord, everything I got's just falling out and it's going away. And my goodness. And then there's a time to get. It's like every time you turn around, somebody's putting something in your hand or God's sending you something. It's just time to get. that. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to understand it. You just say, thank God. Hey, I've learned that when God starts blessing me, it's because he's preparing me for a time that I'm going to have to go through. When it looks like things are going down, and it looks like things are happening wrong, I just remember there was a time to get and there's a time to lose. But God's still in charge. Then the preacher says, I'm getting ready to preach now. That's my introduction. He says, I have seen the travail that God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Leave it right there. He writes, it's the preacher sitting above the situation. He said, I've seen the travail of God's people. I know we like to live in a bubble and think that, you know, just because we got the Holy Ghost, ain't nothing bad ever going to happen. There you go, buddy. Oh, there's my man coming over there. Don't hold it to his charge. He tried. We like to think that because we go to New Life, ain't nothing bad going to happen to us. I miss you this morning. Where was you at? I wondered why I struggled this morning. He said, I've seen the travail of God's people. And he uses the word, Brother Dawson. He said, I've seen them to be exercised. The word exercise means to be wrung out. You may lie to your wife or your husband and say you exercise for the fun of it. And you may tell your brothers at the gym, oh, I love doing this. But you when you get through really exercising, you're wrung out. I don't exercise because it hurts. I mean, think about it. You come into this room, tell this guy, hey, if I give you $50 a month, will you let me come in here and pick up something heavy? Let me run till my tongue's hanging out. Yeah. Bring your friends. I'll only charge them $10. Exercise, wrung out. The word exercise there means I've seen God's people go through stuff, and when they come out of it, they're just wrung out. I've watched people go through trouble. He used the word travail. I've watched God's people go through times in their life when it seems like, my God, did you forget us? He said, I've watched that. I've watched God's people go through trouble. I've watched God's people go through trial. I've watched God's people go through good times and bad times. I've watched God's people laugh, and I've watched God's people mourn. I've watched God's people dance, and I've watched God's people weep. I've watched God's people get, and I've watched God's people lose. He said, but I've understood something, that he hath made everything, not some things, not a few things, but everything. To everything there is a time, but the Bible said everything has been made beautiful in his time. I've come to preach to you that it may look like trouble now, but in God's time, when I get to the end, it's going to be beautiful. When I get to the end, it's going to be great. He said, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. The problem is, we don't live in God's time. We're still trapped in our time. And God can see the end. And God can see how it's all going to work together. But I'm trapped in my time. I'm trapped trapped in my trouble. I'm trapped in my travail. But I've come to preach to you that Romans chapter 8 said, and we know. We don't think, we don't hope, we don't trust. We know that all things work together to them. I've come to preach to somebody. There's going to be things in life. There's a time for everything. But we know, we know, we know that all things, all things, all things, every sickness, every trouble, every heartbreak, every trial, all things work together. He said they work together for good to them that love God. I love God. I love God with all my heart, Brother Sutton. I attempt to love God with all my strength and all my mind and all my hope, but I've stood beside friends and I've stood in my own life as trouble and travail and mess and junk defied resolution. It brought hopelessness into my spirit, but I've come to preach to you tonight that in everything, in every time, in every purpose, you just gotta know that it's gonna work for my good because I love Him. I may have sickness that defies understanding, but if I love Him, it's going to work for my good. If I love Him, to them who are called, watch this, according to His purpose. See the dichotomy between us and God. Is we have hopes. And we have goals. And we have dreams. But He has a purpose. And He said, I didn't call you according to your hope. I called you according to my purpose. And all things work together for good to them that love me, but they also accomplish my purpose. You just keep going. I've come to preach to you in John 9. They said, why was this man born blind? What did he do? Jesus said he didn't do nothing, but he was born blind that the works of God might be made manifest in him. He was born blind for my purpose. Musicians, come, I'm getting ready to quit. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and them whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Here we go. What shall we then say to these things? What things? Everything. All things. Every season, every time, every purpose under the heaven. Every time of sickness, every time of heartbreak, every time of loss, every time of brokenness, every time of misunderstanding, every time of hurt, every time of pain and bitterness. He said, what shall we then say to these things? He said, just say to them, if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall I say then to these things? You just walk to the altar and say, thing, whatever it is that's causing you trouble, whatever it is that's causing you heartbreak, whatever travail you're going through, thing, if God be for us, who can be against us? Watch this. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, watch this, give us all things? Who, verse 35, shall separate us? Not from happiness, not from hope, not from good health, not from pain. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It ain't about your happiness. It ain't about your health. It ain't about what you're going through. It's about the love of God. He said, all things work together for those who love him. Who shall be able to separate us? Shall tribulation, or distresses, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, watch this, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He said, it don't matter what comes to everything, there's a time and a season, but you gotta know, in all these things, I'm gonna be more than a conqueror because he loves me. He said, for I'm persuaded, here we go, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, or things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. He said, Bubba, to everything there is a time, but I've come to tell you, what do I say to those things when I'm going through trouble, when I'm going through heartbreak, when I'm going through the loss of a child, when I'm going through the breakup of a marriage? What shall I say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? It's time for us to start talking to our things. I'd say not anything present, not anything to come, shall be able to separate me from the love of God. He loves me. I'm going to live life. I'm going to have flat tires. I'm going to get sick, but I'm going to get to heaven because he's made all things beautiful in his time. I'm getting ready to quit. Back to Ecclesiastes. He said he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Verse 11. I'm closing right here. He said he has also set the world in their heart. Heard a misinterpreted, misunderstood preacher say the reason we go through trouble is because God put the world in our heart. It's not what that means. The word world there in the Hebrew means the end. The end of time. The end of a thing. He said, God hath set the end in your heart. So that no man, he said, can know or find out the work that God maketh. You see, our fondest hope is that we could come in here tonight and Brother Wells would tell us how it's all going to play out. We could come to Brother Sutton and say, am I going to get well? And because we're honest, we say, hopefully. hopefully.
Because the Bible says no man can find out the end. There's some things you're just not going to know of what God's doing in your life. He said, and I know, watch this, that because we can't find out the end, and it won't bring resolution to our hearts because we want to know the end. In fact, it's our fondest hope that we could come in here tonight and find out where we're going to be in 5 years. That's why we love prosperity preaching. God's going to bless you and send you tons of money. Bible said, yeah, there'll be a time to get, but there'll also be a time to lose. Which comes first? Losing or getting? I don't know. We want to know the end. We want to know how it's all going to pan out. We want to know. A few months ago, I was in the hospital room. My little boy was sick. They said, we don't know what else we can do. We're going to try something we read in the book. They start telling you that, buddy. You start praying. I went in there and I got on my face and I said, God, I need to talk to you, Lord. I need you to give me some peace. I'm travailing in this mess. It's a time, I don't understand this time, God. You gave me a son. You promised me a son years ago, and here we are, God, and it looks like my son's about to die. My wife and I was laying in the floor. I was laying in the floor of the hospital praying. God, I was begging God, crying, weeping. And the prophetess in our church, the real prophetess, she called us. She didn't say everything's going to be okay. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted her to tell me, oh, it's going to be all right in the morning. Y'all going home. That ain't what she said. She said, this is all I can feel. She's crying. She said, I wish I could feel more. I prayed and asked God for more. She said, this is all I can hear. God knows and God loves you. All things work together. Sometimes you just want to know the end. But God says, no man can find out the end because it's sealed in your heart. You just got to keep going. And the writer says, and here's where I'm about to finish up. He said, there ain't nothing you can do. He said, I know there's no good in these things. Watch this. But for a man to rejoice. He said, there's going to be things come in your life that you're going to be begging God for the end, the answer. Show me how it's going to go. And he said, there ain't going to be nothing you can do. Except rejoice. He said it's always time to rejoice and do good in your life. Get up, he says, in the morning, eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner, and go to bed. That's all you can do. But know this, that the thing that God's doing is going to be forever. And nothing shall be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. I want to tell you what the greatest thing about heaven is. When we get to heaven, the Bible said there's going to be an angel who puts one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and says, time shall be no more. There'll never be another time to weep. There'll never be another time to laugh. There'll never be a time to cry. But God is going to finish the work, and forever and ever and ever I'm going to live with him, because all things work together for the good of them that love him.
here we are tonight. And I fear I preach past my point. What do we say to these things? I'm going to get up and eat breakfast. And I'm going to say, financial debt, financial struggle. If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know what to do, but I'm going to eat lunch and I'm going to say, cancer, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm going to eat dinner and I'm going to say, heartbreak, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because nothing, nothing, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. It don't matter what happens. It don't matter what comes. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And all things work together. So here we are tonight. Every one of us in this place are living life. Every one of us in this place have experienced heartbreak. We've experienced loss and emotional struggle. We've experienced pain and heartache, grief, because it was just time for all of that stuff. But I've come to tell you tonight that we've got an answer for everything. We've got an answer for every day. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? There ain't nothing that can come against me that's not common to man. Somebody's been through it. Somebody made it. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. If you're here tonight, I've come to preach somebody tonight that your brain is about to explode trying to figure out the end, trying to figure out how it's all going to work out. I've come to tell you, you'll never find it out. The Bible said no man can find it. You just got to get up in the morning, do good in your life, eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat dinner, and say, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against me? I know I've got all kind of trouble. I've got all kind of heartbreak. I've got all kind of junk in my life. But if God be for me. If you're here tonight and you're going through life, I want you to come. Come on. Somebody. You need a touch from God tonight. You need a touch from the Holy Ghost tonight. I want you to come. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, if you're weeping, if you're crying, if you're dancing, if you're laughing, whatever it is you're going through, I want you to come. If everything's losing, if everything's going away, if everything feels like it's coming out of your hand, I want you to come. If you need the Holy Ghost tonight, I want you to come. If you need a healing in your body, I want you to come. Nay, in all these things, I can't give you an answer. I can't tell you how it's all going to play out, but I can tell you that not things present nor things to come shall be able to separate you from the love of God. I want you to come. I want you to put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. And we're about to pray in the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing we can do, he said. There's no good you can do in them except rejoice. Rejoice that in all these things we're conquerors. I want you to begin to talk to your trouble. I want you to talk to your things and say, if God be for us, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know, cause I tell you, come on, I want you to start talking to your situation right now. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God be for me, who can be against me? I want you to lift your hands right now and begin to rejoice. What good shall we do? Rejoice.
I want you to know that we win.
We win.
Oh, no matter what the weather.
situation. Somebody needs to talk to your season and say everything has a time, everything has a season, but I'm more than a conqueror in all these things. Somebody needs to rejoice. Somebody needs to rejoice. What do we need to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Somebody say no matter.
Sing it, sister.
Somebody say,
come on, preachers. Find someone to pray for. We win.
We win.
We win. Season, but all things work together.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win. 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 We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
If I obey, He'll make a way. If I don't doubt, He'll bring me out. If I believe, I will receive everything God promised me. We win.
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 If I obey, He'll make a way.
If I don't doubt, He'll bring.
Oh, if I believe, everything God promised me.
We win.
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 Your finger in the air and start talking to your situation. If God be for me, if God be for me, who can be able? If God be for me, what can be against me? Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Somebody
come on, put your hand on your neighbor and pray for him. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice.
We win. We win.